You can reach Roy at 1-800-866-8883. That's 1-800-866-8883.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is the second hour of my program. I have some interesting things to say to you tonight. I'm looking at my screen, and I'm just deciding which way I'm going to go with you here. I would think I'd like to talk to you about anti-Semitism, about Jewish people. I've spoken a lot about Christianity in the first hour. But I believe that since I'm a sort of a Christian Jew, I didn't have to change my religion. But I don't need a religion. I just need something to believe in or someone to represent something I can believe in who's in them, if you get the gist of it. So I spent the whole hour speaking about the Old Testament and then the meaning of why Adam had to go through, why he failed and why God didn't make duplicates and duplicates because they'd all failed. So we're born into culture, and we're born innocent into culture with intuition, but culture extending before us, and very few places like America where you have the freedom to make your mistakes, to have that dark side of the force having its day through you and thinking it's you is like a hypnotic state. And how politicians understood this, especially those Russian politicians, Marxists, they made it a science to control you and keep you demoralized. That's what's been happening to America. But Christianity is a wonderful religion, if it's understood. Judaism is an incomplete religion, but it's very important. If there's no such thing as Judaism, there wouldn't be any Christianity. But at the same token, if Christianity didn't rise above, beyond Judaism, see, to complete it, to fulfill it, which means you don't need a teacher, you don't need a rabbi, you don't need a preacher, and you don't need a pope. You got your Bible, you got your history, and you got the mystery in the history. Flick the pages and wait and see what happens. But don't learn. Don't learn the Bible. You hear me quoting, I don't read the Bible. I was reading it the other night as it was on the table. I flicked the pages and there it says the same thing over and over and over and over and over again with different stories. The whole book. New Testament, Old Testament, everything else. Everywhere you go, same principle. And the stories of the people who fail and the punishment and the suffering and the consequences and so on and so forth. And those who... Did you know in Judaism, in those days, I don't know about now, but in the Bible, it was said they knew that this Messiah was coming. They knew that the Redeemer was coming. And the beautiful thing about that is everybody who believed that he was coming was redeemed. In other words, he didn't have to see it or know it. But to believe that he is coming means that God was in them and there was just a few of them and they were persecuted. And persecuted by their own people, the Sadducees. You read it. But now, what am I trying to say to you here? Am I finished with this first opening? 30 seconds. If you, ladies and gentlemen, please bear with me. I want to express some certain things, and I'll just give you the phone number if you want to call in. And I'll be happy to take your call. Do we have another caller? Oh, that's good. We'll take the caller. Okay. And then I'll put aside the story of the Jews, which is very important. You need to. Maybe tonight or tomorrow night. Who knows? Be right back.
The foundation of human understanding teaches an observation exercise, often called meditation, which permits you to become objective toward your problems and allows your heartaches, bad habits, fears, and anxieties to be completely eliminated from your life without effort on your part. Until you have begun to practice this exercise, much of what you see and hear on the following program may be shocking and upsetting to you. But if you will listen calmly and with an open mind, you may discover the key to the peace of mind and joy for which you've been searching all of your life. And now, from the foundation of human understanding, here is Roy Masters.
Yes, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I'm happy to have a caller that is calling about cancer. And I've been waiting for a long time to be able to discuss that, because half of you are going to die from cancer, and, you know, mostly, there's 600,000 people dying from cancer and diabetes. Now, that can contribute to the cancer, too. And there's also an equivalent amount of people, 250,000, who die in hospitals unnecessary by mistakes. That shows you the diseases will do. If you look at the statistics, it's roughly that people dying in hospitals by mistakes is the same as people dying from disease. It's the third reason for death in the hands of a doctor. Medicine's getting more complicated every day, and it becoming very, very, you know, you make a lot of money being a doctor and being a scientist trying to help people to live longer. You've got to learn to live longer. You can live longer, wronger. It sounds like a musical thing, lyrics to music, but medicine is good only for a certain amount of time where you would need it, because you're not perfect. You come into the world perfect, but you get corrupted by the culture that gets into you as you come into it. And depending on the culture, the Jewish culture, the Christian culture, gives you a freedom to make mistakes and then find salvation. You always had it, but it got covered up. And many of you didn't know, you didn't understand that when you came into the culture, the spirit of the culture was waiting for you. You got to get inside. And so that you become a politically correct person for that particular culture or constitution, if there is such a thing. Otherwise, you just have tyrants and wallowing beneath the horror of their wickedness. So I'm glad the person's calling on the subject. And the number to call in, because half of you are going to die from cold cancer, and the other half are going to die from diabetes. And diabetes could also be part of why you're dying from cancer, but it's not exactly the case. But I got a caller here, and we can have a start. And do you want to say, how does Roy Masters know about cancer? I do. If you don't like it, call me. If you're a doctor, you don't like it, you call me. You tell me where I'm wrong. And 55 years, I haven't had anybody. I'm teaching doctors how to overcome every different disease. 95% of all your diseases are easily cured. Of course, you have to have some kind of faith. And then you have to define, what is it? Well, and this is the program where we do this. again and again and again. They've helped millions of people. Millions, not hundreds, not thousands. Okay, now we're going to talk to our friend here, Jean. Hello, Jean.
Hi, Roy.
I'm listening to you.
I don't think what I have to say about cancer is exactly what you have in mind, but
okay,
I was watching your Sunday lecture yesterday.
It was interesting, wasn't it?
Oh, it was wonderful. Wonderful. I could see miracles through in many places. But
yes.
The thing that I'm prompted to call you about was you mentioned someone who was either hearing or having the word cancer pop into their head, and they were frightened by it. And you told them not to be frightened or fight with it because you could get cancer.
Well, yes, you could.
Yeah, I believe that. But I want to share with you the other side.
But do you know the reason why? I could give you the reason, but you go ahead with your calls. You go ahead.
Okay, I went through that. There was a period of 8 months to a year where the word would just be there, and it didn't upset me. I just looked at it and thought, well, this is interesting. And it would come, and I'd see it, and it would go away. And it lasted about 8 months or a year. And it just so happened at that time I was at the doctor's office for a checkup, and he said to me, you know, you're 75 and you've never had a colonoscopy, and your father died of colon cancer. And he said, I think it's about time you do that. Well, I never wanted to do it, but I did it. And when they did it, they found two polyps, and one was precancerous. And when they removed those, I've never had that word pop into my head again. So I think there's a miracle side of it, too. And
yes,
I think it's through meditating, something, the spirit or whatever, was telling me something, and it all fell into place. It wasn't like I ran to the doctor and said, oh, my God, I got to, you know.
Yes.
So,
I don't find anything wrong with that.
It's kind of like the miracles you were talking about. I mean, there are so many miracles after meditating for years. There was a time when I was giving birth to my last child. And
oh, good Lord, you've been with me for a long time.
Oh, yeah. And at the last few seconds of giving natural birth to my fourth child, all of a sudden, I knew, now I don't know if you'll think this is weird, but I knew that Christ was being born doing his thing and dying. I was being born doing my thing and dying, and the baby that I was giving birth to was being born doing his thing and dying, and it was all taking place in a nanosecond. And it was a beautiful thing, and I've never forgotten
it. How so is it beautiful?
What was that?
How so do you see it beautiful? I don't see that.
Well, it just came to me as I was giving that last push to, you know, give birth.
No, you were giving life.
Right. Of course, they say that a woman is very close to death in that last push.
Yeah,
I don't know if that's true. But, I mean,
I'm losing you a bit, see, because that fact that you can have an intuitive knowledge that isn't guaranteed or professionally verified.
No, right, and it can't be verified. It's just another one of those things that I have seen that I don't understand, but it's interesting, and I just look at it. Whether I'll ever know the whole thing or not
There is no arguments the fact that I learn by intuition also.
But
something's wrong, and I don't know what it is, and then I'm able to see it, but then I need someone to fix it. And chances are they fix it wrong. And my experience is they diagnose me wrong nearly every single time. And then they carried out the operations that shouldn't have been. And one doctor says, takes the what do you call it? The, oh dear, the x-rays. I carry the x-rays with me. And he says, you mean to say the doctor didn't see that? He didn't need the operation. And he said that, he showed it to my son, Mark. He's a famous doctor in Los Angeles. Dr. Shaw, a cardiologist. He says, how does the doctor miss this? He didn't need that operation. There I go, starting to need operations from something I didn't need in the first place. But I had to go through this. It didn't bother me because all kinds of miracles happen. I had to go through the... You'd think that a person me who wrote a book, How Am I On to Can Keep You Well, would stay well for the rest of his life. No, it's because the number two killer is mistakes that doctors make. They're mostly guessing. And it isn't always true. That's the reason why they give you one medicine after another. Because they don't know how to go. There's only so much you can do for a person with diabetes, and then you have to give them some kind of pills. But they still go on living longer, longer. And so what I'm trying to say is what I've learned in my trials and tribulations and suffered unnecessary brutality and almost died three times when I shouldn't have been sick in the first place. And what they did made it worse. And slowly but surely I recovered three times from being murdered in hospitals. But I'm 88 years old. I have somehow one day I opened my eyes and I'd had, for some reason, after being violated and all the rest of it, I had needed a bypass. Now, they could have taken an artery, a mammary gland artery. Mammary, you know, men have parts of them are similar to the breasts of women, and they have the same artery. They took my leg and ripped out a whole length from the thigh to the ankle and took pieces in my heart, which is only meant to last 2 or 3 years. I mean, I was old. I was 70 then, I think. And so then I had the other problem that wasn't a problem, prostate. And then that sent me to, it did such a bad job, I collapsed in the hospital. And that was after the 3 years after the heart operation. And the doctor says, you don't have a problem there. All you have, well, he tells me, gives me the real solution. He says, I'm going to give you, I could give you, oh dear, how do I say this? He said, I'm going to give you two choices. You want good news or bad news? I said, give me the bad news first. He says, your bypass failed. I said, what's the good news? He says, you've got new arteries. They've grown by themselves. Now, that is magical. Now, when asked the doctor, why is that? Why me? He couldn't tell me. I can tell you why. If anybody asks me, I can tell it. Anybody can have that. Anybody can be regenerated. But the beauty of it is that when he says, it failed, my heart didn't drop. And when he said, but you got new arteries, I didn't get excited. So that's neat. But I wanted to find out why me. I found out why me. But I find out why it doesn't work also. Because the me is out there drinking drugs and everything like that. And eating the wrong kinds of food and sitting in front of the TV and being angry and upset. They're too pooped to pop. Because I found out that if you take pigs and do the same thing with pigs and put them on a treadmill, which was what I did, they grow new arteries and pigs. See that? But the average person is too pooped to pop, so he can't do all those things. He is so full of guilt and ignorance that you can't get him off eating too much. You can't get him off drinking too much. And all these continue to create newer and newer and newer diseases until all we're living by is living through chemistry. See that? So we die having never lived the purpose of life. We just live longer in meaningfulness. See that? So I don't know if that fits. I have another story when it comes to understanding. Yeah. Is the other lady just, is she still there? Okay. So I would like to talk about the subject itself. And the lady was, it's a good call. Okay, it was a good call, the last one too. Okay, we'll be right back. Here we are again, 800-866-8883. Just give me a shot on something I could put my teeth into, okay? The other lady on cancer, that was interesting, but it didn't take me where I wanted to go. I have to have a person who has really got cancer and tried everything, it's not working. And the only chance is me. So give me the opportunity if you know that you're going to die. And as long as you still have some vigor in you to talk to me, you will not. Okay. So let me go now to John in Virginia. And he's a therapist and has an eating problem. That's easy to do. Simple. Go ahead, John.
Oh, Roy, thank you. I've called you a number of times. You've been very helpful over the years. I wanted to really thank you for all the help you've given me. I've come a long, long ways. I'm a therapist, and I also have a business, but I also am a therapist part-time, and I work in a Christian counseling setting, although I'm a much different type of Christian, but they put up with me. And
oh, that's good.
But I'm able to help, not me, but whatever is inside of me.
Say it again. I didn't understand that.
Well, I don't know why I want to cry, but I feel like I'm sort of dying, and what's coming out is a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing.
I'm listening.
It's something beautiful. I'm able to help people. I don't cry when I'm helping people. I'm pretty good, but I'm able to help people because I put enough of myself aside.
Yes.
And letting God work through me.
Yes.
And
it's beautiful, isn't it?
Oh, my gosh.
No, look at me now. Pay attention to me. I know it's beautiful. But I'm not beautiful. But
no,
he's
not.
Beautiful. He's beautiful through me. The beauty is through me. And that's my life. Well,
but after I get through counseling, it's like I'm so there's something I want to eat. I want to eat.
Oh, I got it.
And
I got it.
I know, it's almost like something wants to sabotage
everything I've done
that's so beautiful.
Yes, but maybe we got the wrong beautiful.
Maybe so, I don't know.
Well, I think I can tell you a story. I'm not sure if I remember the whole story. When I first started in, I didn't know what I had. I got very interested in hypnosis because of Hitler. And my concern about how did he do this to a whole country and turn them into maggots and derelicts and die for him, that rotten swine. How does he do it? How does it happen over and over and over again in the world that's still happening now? How people could be made to be killed and you have your leaders, your tyrants, of every race and color and creed and every custom, you have a force, a person who emboldens our wickedness and turns us against the good. See, so I forgot what I was going to say now. Isn't that something? What sometimes when I try to make a point, other things come up in my mind. Yes, I can come back and tell you my story. Let me get back to the hypnosis thing.
Okay.
It took many years for me to really understand what I was doing, but not knowing what was working in my doing. And so I opened up the Institute of Hypnosis and practiced and advertised and gave lectures, and people came for several years. And during that period of time, I got to experience the sense of euphoria, which was beautiful but ugly.
Yes, yes.
It's beautiful but ugly, because the hypnosis doesn't cure anybody. Hypnosis, I learned, is the disease everybody has because they forgive them for they know not what they're doing. You got that, don't you? That's what it is. We are born into a culture that isn't God, but He is in us, and that's the reason why we have conflict between the culture we're in and what's in us trying to express itself, and making you feel anxiety when you do stupid things, hoping to nudge you into being still and know Him, sort of thing, to make it rather dramatic and poetic. And so even when I was in the military, it hypnotized the colonel. I could hypnotize the sergeant. I could hypnotize everybody in the barracks so that I didn't have to do any work. I was a naughty boy. So I knew what it was. I knew how to do it. And so it's still something that I wasn't in the curing of people. I remember sitting at a pub. I don't drink, but you know, in my military career, and I was sitting. He was drinking a mug of beer, and he says, "How do you do this?" He says, "Can you hypnotize me?" I said, "No, you're already hypnotized." He came out of me like that. He says, "I'm not hypnotized. That doesn't make sense." I said, "Okay. How much does that mug of beer weigh?" He said, "It's not much." I said, "You can't pick it up." "What do you mean you can't pick it up?" I said, "You can't pick it up." And he couldn't. He said, "How did you do that?" See? Now, I know how to make a person do something and tell him I'm going to do it. I tell him he's going to do it. And then he remembers me telling him what to do, and then say, "Why did you do it?" He said, "Because I wanted to."
Yeah, and I actually watched that demonstration live.
You have to watch that.
You did that. Yes,
yeah, I'm glad you did.
I watched it live, actually. I was there.
You were there?
Yes, yeah.
Good. Well, you see now, what really is happening is that people come into a culture and are infected by the culture and shaped by the culture. So if you're born in Borneo, you're big of cannibal. And then you take it from there. You're born in Jew. If the stork took an Arab kid and dropped him down a Jewish chimney, he'd know the Talmud. See, it all depends on how you come in and who you think you are. And you're none of that. You're gods. And you're never going to be happy belonging to those anything until you find out who you are. And in America, this is the place to find it. We can make our mistakes, and we have this freedom. Okay, we'll be right back. 800-866-8883. Good evening again. I'm just going to hold John for a few minutes and ask you to support this program and pay it forward. I'm going to say some outlandish things, and you're going to get used to it, please. And if you don't like it, don't get angry. Just give me a call like he's doing. And he's saying something very interesting. He's saying, I'm helping people. But at the same time, I feel robbed. I feel anxiety. And that's when I start eating. And I understand, I can understand that he thinks. You can actually hypnotize a person by your personality. You don't have to put them in a trance. Your personality, your confidence in yourself, all by itself without God, the confidence you have. Some people don't, some people do. You're individuals, you're on your way. And so therefore you have an influence on another person, you can make them feel better. And you can do that with his doctor or psychiatrist. But never get better. You have to keep going back again. And so here's John here on the phone. And he's saying to me, I found God and I'm helping people. And it's so beautiful. And he's crying. And John is listening. And he can tell me, he can correct me if I'm wrong and trying to set the stage of what I want to say. I'm saying what I experienced too. I thought that I had two ladies came in. I helped them to overcome their problems using hypnosis. This is the early days, before I knew what I've been talking about, all these years later. And they said, oh, you're so wonderful, Mr. Masters. I feel so much better. Thank you. And I'm glad I didn't puff up, because 2 days later she comes in and she's worse and she's angry. And then I felt upset a little bit. That was the time I had to go out and sit in the drugstore and have a ice cream, whatever you call it, sundae. I found myself reading the fare of the food on the behind the counter. Why am I concentrating on that? Reading it over and again, distraction from the fact that I got irritated. I saw it right away. I went back. So what happened is, I thought I got her better. See, she wasn't better. She felt better. And you can keep a person in a hypnotic trance. A hypnotist, if you go to a hypnotist, you're going to have to go back again and again and again and again and again. You're never going to get better, but you need to cut. But then you could have a cult system where the hypnotist is in charge of hundreds of people. And there's lots of horrible things that happen. I can't remember it right now, but it was a preacher that took all these people to South America, and was it named David? Tim Jones, yes. And he murdered all of them. We'll be right back, you see?
Line with Roy Masters. You can reach Roy at 1-800-866-8883. That's 1-800-866-8883.
Now, John is back again. Are you there, John?
Roy, yes. And Roy, I have that hunger after I get through doing a good job, supposedly, I'm really questioning, is there something... I don't want to ignore this, and I've ignored it for several years, but I have to come, if there's something I'm doing wrong,
yes, you are.
If it's my pride.
Yes, it is your pride. It is. Let me share it with you now.
Okay.
Well, what you're talking about, in fact, is beautiful. And when you said, I'm a therapist, I'm helping people, and it's beautiful. But then I end up, eating a lot and having a little anxiety. You didn't say that, but it was there. A little emptiness. That's what it was. That's correct, isn't it? Yes. So I'm getting it right. I'm guessing it correctly. I'm saying I experienced little things like that. It just very little, but I was able to snap out of it. Because the lady that I mentioned that I helped her, and a couple of days later she's worse, and then she starts to be angry with me, but then I help her again, and she feels better, and then she's worse, and then she's starting to be angry with me, and I felt reaction a little bit. That's where I went to the drugstore and had I was trying to find the name of the Sunday, but it was such a long time ago. But the point is, what I've discovered is that hypnosis only gives you a feeling of being better.
Right.
And you don't need to hypnotize a person to mesmerize them. You only have to have a personality that's compatible with the sense of worth the person needs to feel better than he deserves.
What do I need to look at in my...
That's the question. What you need to look at is the sense of beauty, the sense of, look what I've done. Look, it's beautiful. Look, they're getting better. No, they're not. You haven't followed them far enough.
And I don't think that people are getting better, but what I do sense is that I'm beginning to understand evil and how it works.
Okay.
It's so much better, and it comes out.
But you're still getting a sense, a lift of some kind.
Yeah, yes, I am.
I know
yes,
it's
I
there.
Am.
I know
you're
it's
right.
there.
You're right.
And you're giving off your life force. When you are infected, or I can't find the right word, so I have to do the best I can. But when you enable yourself to give yourself to a person and work with them with all your heart, and the person tends to suck it up, it sucks away some energy from you and it makes you feel hollow. You're giving up your life force and you're in danger of getting cancer.
Well, it's very interesting you say that, because I have a recurrent feeling that I want to quit counseling.
Hey, I think it'd be a good idea.
Do you think it would?
Yes, I think you're not ready.
Yes. I agree with you. I definitely have something that's a talent and very.
I'm sure it's there. I'm sure it's there. But listen to Uncle Roy.
I'm not ready yet, am I?
No, you're not.
I'm not ready yet, am I?
But this is part of your learning curve. This is part. Your conversation with me is that you're using personality and the strength of authority, which people respond to authority as in a hypnotic state. I can tell you a little story. And the name is Dave. About 30 years ago, I've been in this business on the air for 55 years, and another 4 years behind that with meditation, a business on a fancy place in Houston, Texas. And so a lady calls me on the radio. I have my radio show. And she says, are you the Roy Masters that was in Montrose Boulevard? Yes. In Houston? Yes. Do you remember Dave? Of course I remember. He was one of the first people I helped. He says, that was 20, 30 years ago, and he's still perfectly healthy. You helped him. But the story he told me with the psychiatrist was this. The psychiatrist, he had a terrible, terrible headaches. And the headaches that could kill you. And the psychiatrist says, I'll hypnotize you and you'll be better. And so the psychiatrist hypnotized him. And then when he opened his eyes, and the psychiatrist didn't really know what he's doing, but he is able to infect him because of authority, not because he is a good hypnotist or anything like that. Not that a hypnotist is good anyway. But the point is, he actually felt a flush when the man said, he said to the man, "How do you feel?" He says, "My headache went away. How remarkable, doctor." And the doctor was mesmerized by the patient. He got a high. That is what you get. You've got to be careful of that, because every high leads to a new low. In other words, he became delusional himself. He did not fix that person. Because the person named Dave, when he went out of the office of the doctor and put his hand on the handle, he says to himself, "Why did I tell that man that? I still have a headache." The doctor actually hypnotized him, or his force of presence mesmerized him to link into his subconscious and make him say what he wanted to hear. Not that he was good at it, but the point is made in that very simple example. He lost energy to this person and got a high thinking. Wow, that's interesting, see? And you're getting a high because you've given up something and you have the illusion. It comes back to you as an illusion. And you're getting sick. And you're giving up your energy. That's why you feel empty.
Yes. Yeah.
That's the emptiness. You're giving. See, you're not God. He can give you love forever.
I'm not ready for this yet.
And you can only give so much of your body and mind. And there's nothing left of you.
I'm not. This isn't the time, is it?
No.
It's
but
not
this
the
is
time.
It is a time for you to consider. Put it aside.
I have worked very hard the last 30 years, probably the hours of two people, and I really want to have a little bit of fun. I want to rest. I want to enjoy some things in life. And not that I have a good work ethic, but I want to balance it better.
That's more like it. I think I admire you, and don't let it go to your head.
No, sir, I won't.
I do respect you that you're on your way. And when you help somebody and you don't know you've done it, then you've done it.
I see.
Do you know how many people I help every day? I go home and I get off my chair and go into the next room, have a glass of water, some milk, and just watch a little TV with my wife, or sit quietly working on my thesis, which I haven't done for several weeks. But I don't feel elevated. I don't feel innovated. I don't feel anything.
I just love to do what I'm doing,
that's all.
And that's what I'm uncomfortable with. It's almost like I could have a following, a huge following, but there's something about it that really makes me very uncomfortable.
You don't want a following because...
I know, it's bad.
They'll take the life out of you, or you take the life out of them.
Yes.
They could reverse.
Well, this has been one of the best conversations I've had in a long time. I'm so glad I put aside that, I don't know how many people probably want to call you but are afraid to, but I'm just not afraid anymore.
That's good.
I you can't turn your head. I will not turn my head on things. I'm going to look at things. I'm 66, and, you know, I don't know how many years I have left, but I want to die in the right kind of way, you know?
Well, you need to understand that when you do good for someone, you mustn't feel good.
Yes, you shouldn't get a feeling from it. I remember you saying that.
If you get a feeling,
there's something wrong.
But in other words, the good you give is not from your guts. If it's from your guts, then you've got a pride thing.
Yeah.
You see, and then you become addicted to giving yourself or getting others to believe how wonderful you are, and destroying them, making them addicted to you, and you're living off their dying to you.
Yes.
You have to be very careful which way it goes. Robin Williams gave his life. You remember Robin Williams?
Yes. You've talked a lot about him.
I did.
And and how he really hated the people that
he loved.
Had, like he had to make them laugh.
Yes. That is a perfect example. But he could have been Adolf Hitler if he had just put him on. But they got him to give his life, his funniness, until he can't be funny anymore. And then reward him for serving the millions of people who loved him and gave him all that money. Mm-hmm. And the money kept on coming in and rewarding him for being a fake. In other words, he's not really making them happy. He's making himself miserable, making them happy. And the harder he tried, the less he had to give, and the more he had to dig deeper into himself to give what's left of his life left. And so the pain was so great, the anxiety, he killed himself. He couldn't help it. He hated everybody, and he couldn't admit it. He had three wives. He was drunk most of the time on drugs. Did you know all those things? Because he was giving of his guts, to put it. It's nothing coming through him that's any good. He's a compulsive entertainer, like a drug pusher. His reward is money, but money doesn't cure and doesn't give him the energy to keep doing that over and over again. He feels like he's giving his life to all those people, and he hates the people. But then he feels guilty, and he has to go please the people because he has to overcome his sin of hating them.
Mm-hmm.
It's a vicious cycle.
And you see, and there's a part of me that, because I have a pretty successful business, but, of course, the economy is destroying a lot of businesses, but I feel in the evening I have to take a shower and get ready and go out and do counseling, and I resent that. I resent having to give
there
my
time. There you go.
Time.
You see, you're under compulsion because it's giving you a sense of worth that isn't real. You think it gives you a sense of going somewhere, and you're going nowhere.
Exactly. But, you know, I've pushed that aside. I've blinded myself from seeing it, but tonight I had to confront it tonight.
I'm glad you did. I helped save your life. I tell you what, just be, I'm going to come back after break. Just one second, I've got to say something nice to you. Let me say something nice to you without pumping you up.
Okay.
Or without pumping myself up.
Okay.
You have what you were thinking of doing for yourself. You already have it. You just got in the way. That's all. You have what I have. And so just be ordinary person.
Okay.
And an opportunity sitting in the airplane, let's say you're going on a trip somewhere, and you're sitting in a seat and a lady sits next to you, a gentleman, and my name is Roy Masters. My name is John. How do you do? He introduces himself, herself. And what do you do? You know how it is. It's a conversation. And you see that he's friendly and open. And you have no guile in you. And he senses it. And you chat for a couple hours on the way to your destination. And and at some point you say, you know, you look a little stressed. Oh, they'll bring it up. They say, you know, I have this business. I do this. I get so stressed. There's your cue. So I'm in the business of helping people with stress. You are really? Yes. But then you explain assuming you know how stress takes the life out of you, or see that it creates all kinds of anxieties and fears because you're not meant to react like an animal. There's something more in a human being. But I can't tell you because it will come to you.
Exactly.
It will come to you. So if I start to make an example, it won't work. But it will come to you, and when you're finished, you're fresh. And he has had a nice experience. And forget it. And then there's the next person. And the next person. And each in a different ways. I'm sitting in an airport, since we were talking about airport, a lady comes in, she has crutches, and she got her leg all bound up in something. And she came straight to me and sat next to me. And before you know it, I was able to explain her problem, and she's a Christian lady. I said, your Christianity can save you from this one. You're on the wrong track. She said, I think you're right. See? And I can just remember that little thing. But most of them I forget. Because it's just par for the course, that's all. I love what I'm doing. And as I'm doing it, I'm alive. As I'm doing it, I'm alive. As I'm doing it, I'm alive. And it never stops. As many times I can sit all day, all night. Okay, be right back.
Listening to Advice Line with Roy Masters. You can reach Roy at 1-800-866-8883. That's 1-800-866-8883.
Okay, now, we've just got a few minutes left together, and I'll just give a couple of more minutes. I think you should go home relieved and just understand that there's no effort in me to help you. I do not feel depleted. I don't feel glorified. To me, it's life. I'm helping. I am the word. The words don't come sometimes, so bear with me. I have to sort of sit for a minute. I'm the agent. I'm what life is working through me to you and giving me life to you. But I'm not the one that gives the life. He gives life to me every minute to give life to you. And then you become centered in God, and then you can do unto others what you would have them do unto you. If you're not careful and you get high on it, you become demoralized. And then you get angry because you feel people pulling on you. Because it appears that you've done it for this person, but that person may come back and be angry with you. Mm-hmm. Or you may feel like you've done something wrong when you've done something kind of right, but it wasn't right enough. You're going on a course now, and it's very, very subtle. Don't look for a feeling, and let it be natural. Let everything natural. Let it come out of you as it will. And then you're the angel of change. That's all you are. Of myself I can do nothing, Jesus says. The Father within me, he doth it. Then let it be that way. And you have it in you. Everybody listening to me has it in them. They just don't know it yet. They've got to shed themselves from their faith in authority. That's what you need to say goodbye to, authority. But don't be an authority. Only be a person who loves you, loves others. And the evidence that you love them is in the negative sometimes. So you have a bad person who's cruel and mean and mocks you. But you find you don't flinch. You don't have to try, because God took flinching away. God took anger away. God took your judgmentalness away. And so therefore you are clean, and what passes through you is the counter to the bully who feels the pressure, an elixir. In some people it's an elixir. If you can remember listening to me sometimes, if I am one of those people, I think you think I am. I know I am.
Yes, but you are.
But it's like a breath of fresh air. You need to be a breath of fresh air as God breathes love through you. That's all. Nothing more. And you have an epiphanies and understandings all blossoming from this.
Well, this has been a very valuable and much appreciated phone conversation. It's just meant the world to me. And I see what what path I need to take now.
It's really, really just relax.
Yeah.
And watch yourself. Just be aware of the beauty of trees and the flowers and the bees, and watch human nature. And just being a watcher. And you know what? When you're watching like that, it's like another light is coming through you towards other people, like your flashlight. So not only is this light come to, so you can see where you're going and see what people look like, but there's light coming out of you, countering the stress that people put on you that they can't help.
Yes.
It's curative.
I wake up each day. I'm like a kid. There's so much in life that is, everything is interesting. Everything is, it's fascinating what God has made for us.
Yes, and now you can say it's beautiful. Now you can say what went between us is beautiful, is it not? Do you see me puffing up? No.
No.
But you don't see yourself puffed up and feeling grateful? Feeling grateful? It's par for the course. I love you because I'm loved, not because I can, but it's the spirit within me that does this. So I cannot do this. I can't cure anybody. I'm just bag of bones. But this bag of bones is filled with the spirit that keeps me alive. And
it's a beautiful spirit, and I love that spirit.
Yes. And so I know I'm 88. I die soon. But I know that every person I loved and helped caused love to shape itself in me, a little piece of that that came through me, shaped me into his image, and corrected any flaws in the image of in myself. And when I leave this earth, I will wake up, and just like being born, I don't remember being born. I just found myself in the world, and that's where it will happen. In the other realm, I know there is, because he's made this realm, and he's invisible to the realm, he's metaphysical to the realm. I will also become metaphysical, and it will be like solid bodies, and maybe there will be solid bodies, but not like the ones we have that perish.
Like Adam's body before the fall.
Yes. You could have lived forever, right? God says, if you do as I say, and don't eat the fruit of the tree. There's nothing wrong with this. It wasn't poisoned or anything. It was just something he says, don't do this. It's like little boy sees a nickel, a quarter on dad's night table, and something says, take it. Where's that come from? It's that Eve thing, isn't it, for mom? And he takes it. And so daddy says, did you take that? No, Johnny made me do it. He throws the blame on somebody else. Or makes an excuse. It's the same thing over and over again. Say goodbye to caller. God bless you. Have a good life. John. All right, here's the address, please. Foundation of Human Understanding. Don't you like that word? Understanding humans. And standing under what helps us to understand human, our own self. Foundation of Human Understanding is a foundation under him. Post Office Box 1000, Grants Pass, Oregon 97528. And then the website is fhu.com. Or go Roy Masters and it gets you right there. And Post Office Box 1000, Grants Pass, Oregon 97528. And one more thing if you get it. It's my office number is 800-877-3227. 877-3227. Have a good evening and enjoy the refeed. It's coming up.